This is the Stepney Baptist Church podcast. For more information about the church, go to www.stepneybaptist.com. We thank you for listening and hope you have a blessed day.
This message today, this is week one from this series. This series is called Believe. The message today is called Choose This Day. Choose This Day. Oh, middle school and elementary school. Thank you. A lot of moving parts this morning. All right, if your middle school ministry is heading off to the back, Sunday school also on the other side off to the back. So kids, elementary age kids for Sunday school, and then middle school and lower high school kids over this way with Mark and Michelle. All right, there's still the throngs are descending from on high. So wait for the kids coming down from the balcony. All right, awesome. I knew I'd forget something. So this message today is called Choose This Day. A few weeks back and every year, my wife and I get to the privilege of hosting a pastor from India who is a dear friend and this church knows well. His name is Rufus Kamalakar, and he leads a powerful ministry over there to basically a forgotten people, and it's a long story and a powerful ministry. But I want to just share a little story about Rufus. So whenever Rufus comes here, he kind of laughs at me, and he kind of laughs at our country. And one of his favorite traditions is to go to the Cheesecake Factory, because it's just there's just that kind of food just isn't over there. So he loves the Cheesecake Factory. But every time we get there, now Rufus is a very intelligent man. He's got a master's degree. He preaches all the time. But when he sees that Cheesecake Factory menu, it's like 30 pages in a spiral binder. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about, right? He's completely overwhelmed by all the choices. So he just tells me, Pastor, you order for me. And I order start to finish. Even the iced tea, there are 20 choices. Whatever he wants, I have to order for him. Who remembers here when your choice in coffee used to be caffeinated or decaf? So thank you, Starbucks, for ruining that for all of us, right? Too many choices. What about television? Who remembers when there were three big networks, then there was PBS, and then there were a few UHF stations? We remember that? Thanks to cable and satellite, we have hundreds of choices, and honestly, there's still nothing good on TV. So lots of choices. We relish our choices in our time, in our day. No matter what the category is. But what about faith in God? This generation that's coming up is very quick to sort of lump their faith together with everything else out there as just simply a choice, one of many choices. No right, no wrong, no one way, just the way I like it. For instance, someone might like a grande quad non-fat one pump no whip mocha at Starbucks, and someone else might like a triple venti half sweet non-fat caramel macchiato. But when it comes to faith in God, so many people today, and maybe some of you say this, maybe this is your standard answer, but so many of this generation will just say, well, I'm just more spiritual than religious. Have we heard that? Have we said it ourselves? It's just a thing. And it's kind of a way to just kind of mow over all the particulars of who you believe God is and what you believe that he wants from you and what do you think his story is for this planet and humanity. And did we come from him or not? Or do we just get to choose, like going to Starbucks? There should probably be a denomination named the Church of the Spiritual but Not Religious, because that would be a great denomination, and it would probably be packed. But I don't want to pick on this generation because I love this generation. God loves this generation that's coming up behind us. But it's a time of kind of moving away from everything that's kind of old, everything that's kind of traditional, everything that was my parents' generation. And by the way, I think that's been going on since the beginning of time. But I think in the matters of faith, this is a bigger dynamic now with this generation that's coming behind us. Probably than ever. And for a young people who can be fluent in the language of Starbucks or even Cheesecake Factory, you ask them to be articulate about what they believe in God, and that's like, I can't even talk about it. It's too private. Which means I think a lot of people don't even know what they believe in God. The ancient world of Joshua was probably just as religiously diverse as ours is today. In fact, the normative idea in the ancient world, of Joshua from the Old Testament, was a polytheistic world. In other words, there were many gods, and there were no such thing as atheists in the ancient world. Everyone had gods, and frankly, plenty of them. But Joshua came along with this generation that had been rescued from slavery and bondage in Egypt, and now they were settling in, and Moses had passed, and now they were settling into the promised land, which was very polytheistic. In other words, there were many gods, and the one God that Joshua believed, called Yahweh, the God of Jacob and Abraham and Isaac, this was the God that Joshua listened to and heard from, and was charged. It was charging Joshua, in fact, to take the land that would become Israel, and to root out all the many gods and just leave them with the one God. So the Hebrews were a monotheistic faith. They believed in just one God, the God of the Bible. This was radical. It was countercultural. And it was very different from what anyone had seen or heard before. If there's a blue Bible in front of you, we're going to just read a few verses from Joshua 24. It's on page 198 in the blue Bibles in your pews. Joshua 24, just verses 13 through 15. And this is God speaking through Joshua. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of the vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served before the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father, the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So we have Joshua here taking a stand. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was calling his people to make a decision that day, to choose whether they would serve the Lord or serve the gods of the other people. What I really believe the first chapter of this book believe, which, by the way, this book, really briefly, 97-98% of this is just scripture, but it's organized in a way that helps us understand what is a Christian way of thinking? What is a Christian supposed to do with their lives, and how are we supposed to act in our lives? It's really a helpful way to have the scriptures arranged for you. And it's mostly the text from the New International Version. So please, if you didn't grab one of these, please grab one before you go today. But this first chapter in Believe, which is simply called God, it introduces the one God of the Bible, who was fully revealed in the New Testament. And the New Testament understanding is that he is triune. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons in one triune God, whom we call the Trinity. So in this first chapter, you'll see that he was active in creation, that he gave us the commandment to love him and to follow him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the fact is, if any of us have tried to walk with God for any amount of time, we know that loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength is a big ask. It's a hard challenge, and it doesn't come naturally. This is not something that humans just naturally drift towards, is a devoted, loving, committed faith to God. In fact, there are many other things in our times, not unlike the times of Joshua, many other, we'll call them gods with a small g, gods and things that try to distract our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And in fact, in this era of advanced and excellent communication via technology, technology itself, and even our stupid little phones have become some of the most important things in our world, and our lives revolve around something about the size of a deck of cards. And I'm as guilty as the next person. So we have to just be careful. What am I loving the most? You know, do I love the Lord, my God, with my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or am I just so distracted by information and the Twitter feed and Instagram and who's wearing what and who got their hair done and whatever else, or what the president said or should have said or didn't say or anything, you just name it. And we get so distracted and we think that's reality. And yet, when we get quiet, ultimately, at the end of the day and the end of our lives, it's always been about us and God. And I pray that we get quiet enough to hear that today. There are many temptations, many things we can follow. And also, the other thing is, I think Christians, you know, back in the day with the ancient world, and much like, you know, other faiths of our planet today, There's a God for weather, there's a God for health, there's a God for fertility, there's a God for money, there's a God for business, there's a God for this, a God for everything. And people have made these gods through the years because we want things to go well for us. And this is just human nature. We want our life to be blessed and go well, and we want to prosper, and we want a full harvest, and we want children, and we want good health. And honestly, sometimes we kind of place God in that same box. So they say, well, I don't follow all those other gods, but I'm going to be a Christian, and therefore everything's going to go really well, and my life will be really easy. And that's not what the gospel says either. The beauty of walking with the Lord, that relationship, that love relationship of a parent, a child, father and child, daughter or son, it's a lot easier to go through stuff when you're in it with the Lord. But what a lot of people do is I'll walk with God, but then when my life starts to get a little difficult or a little busy, I will just kind of leave him behind, and it's sort of like we sort of unconsciously say, I've got it from here, God. And then the moment something goes bad, it's like, God, why did you do that to me? And it's like, I didn't do anything. You know, the circumstances happened, and I've been here the whole time, and I still love you unconditionally, but what's your heart been filled with? And if we're honest, we get so distracted, even church people, and we're some of the most distracted people on earth. So let's just always keep him the focus. Amen? So whether we know it or not, we do make choices as to who we will serve every day. And we sometimes consciously choose not to serve God, but most often we just chase other things that we think are somehow more important than him. We choose to serve ourselves. We choose to serve status, other people, something of the flesh that our flesh wants. And this is the choice, and this is the same choice that Joshua's people were facing, you know, way back before the time of Christ, that we face today. It's like, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day whom you will serve. I do believe at the end of our lives we'll give an account. And you know, Jesus talked about a day of reconciliation where we'll give an account for everything we've said and done. And I pray for each one of us here today that prioritizing the Lord, even if you're 75 years old and you've never walked with the Lord today, but there's so much grace and so much love that from this day forward, walking with him is worth it. He's a glorious, good, and loving God. So the people of Israel had been in slavery in Egypt for 400 years, and Moses was the one who was called to lead them out through the miraculous parting of the Red Sea. And it was a beautiful event. And the people had been in slavery, and it was an early picture of in advance, you can say, of the Christian experience, where like coming to Christ is actually a transition from a place of slavery and bondage through we sort of mark this and see this as the waters of baptism, as the Jewish people experienced. To a land of freedom and a land of intimacy, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that's blessed with the Lord. And so this was the experience, these people who had, they had seen God move miraculously under Pharaoh and parting of the Red Sea and then wandering through the wilderness and God's provision for them in the wilderness and then under Joshua's leaders, miracles as well. But now they'd come to a point and that all that stuff was great. That was, there was some cool history there. But now, again, it seems like the people of God were just kind of saying, I got it from here, God. And I think this is the moment that Joshua is defining here. Choose this day whom you will serve. Sometimes we hear about the revivals, the great awakenings, and these things that just sound a little weird because it's not our experience today. And it's easy to just chalk it up to something weird, something historic, something old. And yet, God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God desires our hearts today. I think that we are very similar to these ancient Israelites here in the 21st century. I'd like to read another, just another passage from that same chapter, Joshua 24. It's on page 199 in the Bibles in front of you. And basically where the people were told that they couldn't have it both ways. You can't have all the little gods and then have the big God, the one God as well. So Joshua said to the people, starting in verse 19, Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, no, but we will serve the Lord. And then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. And he said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. So God wants hearts that are wholly his, undivided hearts. And if we know ourselves, and I know myself, it's hard to have an undivided heart. This world screams out for attention. And I don't think it's any more different. I mean, it certainly plays out differently, but I think it's all the same dynamics that were going on in that day. We just have more fun gadgets and tools and technology. But those technological advances that were supposed to simplify our lives somehow have dominated our lives. You know, how bad is your day when your computer, your laptop breaks or your phone is dead? And guess what? All that we can do that day is get that thing fixed because we can't live without it. And I'm not advocating a technology-free world because there are some great advances and technology is great when it works. But boy, does it not really save us time. I feel like it adds so much time and it takes so much of our attention and so much of our heart and mind space. But what Joshua was saying is, that's fine, you know, commit to the Lord, but don't do it half-heartedly. You can't have God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then all your little gods too. Choose this day whom you will serve. And I love how Joshua declared, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I think there's something simple there just about human will and having, just choosing. You know, God didn't make little robots, right? He didn't make us little machines turn the key in our back and we would follow him and be faithful to him. But he made us complex beings. We're made in his image, so somehow we are like him. And we too have freedom, the freedom of choice, which is a big belief, an understanding of the Christian faith, of free will. And we can choose, I'm going to walk with you, God, or I'm not. And sometimes we don't consciously say, well, I don't want God in my life, but we just say, I'll do this, the other thing, and I'll add this to my life, and I'll be busy this way. And before you know it, you haven't been to church in a year or two or whatever, and it just sort of gets off the radar, and I just got busy with my life, my career, my kids, my whatever it is. And God is calling us, just reminding us that we have a choice. In 1999, before NASA successfully sent the Mars rover little program, which did send those remote control buggies to Mars, but in 99, NASA sent out to orbit Mars a satellite, multi-gazillion dollar satellite that just disappeared out in deep space. And NASA, as they were trying to figure out what went wrong with this experiment, where did our $100 million satellite go? They figured there was an error in calculations. And in fact, there were two teams working on this satellite. One team was working in English measurements, and one team was working in metric measurements. And hence, there were two different languages being used and some kind of an inconsistency that caused this satellite just to float off into space. They were calculating by two different standards, and this was disastrous. So when it comes to God, we've got to decide what is our standard and what will that be? Because we can't. The one thing about it, if God is real, and I believe He is, He's not up to our own design or our own creation, or He isn't subject to, well, I want a God who's this way, and I want a God who's that way, and I want many gods. Either He's God, and He's the Creator, and He's the Lord of the universe, or He's not, or He's something else. And I think it's so important that we have this this standard, this one standard by which we approach God. And I think even in our own lives, and this is a challenge to church people, and I'm a professional church person here. Do we have a Sunday persona, a church persona, and then an every other day of the week persona over here? You know, I clean up good, I clean up my language a little bit, just in case pastor's listening, because he's never uttered an unfortunate word. Well, we talked about me at the intersection here, me behind the wheel, and that's a different me sometimes. But do we have one standard? Are we one person that decides that I'm going to be that person, that I'm going to figure out who it is, who God is, and I'm going to try to love God, I'm going to try to walk with Him, even though this world is challenging and this world is pulling at me, and my own flesh is pulling at me? But do I want to walk with God? Or just kind of clean myself up a little bit on a Sunday? Or do I want to try to learn what it's like to walk with God through the trenches, through the days and the nights of every week, every year? And my prayer for all of us is that we choose the latter. And it's a challenge. Loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So Joshua says, choose this day whom you will serve. We can't have it both ways. Choose this day whom you will serve. God is more than a one-time mental ascent. You know, we can say, well, yeah, I walked forward at a Billy Graham crusade in 1985. Well, did your life change? Did you add some things to your life, take some things out of your life, and decide to actually follow Him? Or was this just a one-time event? Does your life have prayer and worship? A life of forgiveness. This is the Christian way, is forgiveness. This is hard. This is hard business. It's hard to actually forgive people that hurt us. Or am I the only person here that struggles? But this is the calling of a Christian life. We don't get to just wish somebody were dead and go on with our happy Christian life over here. Because guess what? God still loves that other person, no matter what they did to you and however badly they hurt you. So we have to wrestle with these things and serving God with our time, talent, and our treasure, however little or much we have. Being at peace with those you love and with those that are hard to love. The good news is that the same God who led His people from slavery in Egypt, who offers to lead us from slavery in and to this world, into freedom in Christ, that same God is active in our lives and invites us to walk with Him for the rest of our lives. However many hours, days, weeks, months, and years we might have left. Choose this day whom you will serve. That's what the first chapter of Believe is about. The second chapter is getting into the idea of God as a personal God. And the Bible presents God as a very personal God, someone who knows us intimately and who can walk with us. And we'll get into that just next week. Would you please join me in prayer? Lord, we do thank you that you are a gracious God, gracious to 1,000 generations, and we see your consistent character all the way from Old Testament through into the New Testament. We see a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of compassion, a God of patience. And Lord, we thank you that we are patient, that you are patient with us. And Lord, I pray that we too today would choose to serve you and follow after you with our entire being, with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul, Lord. Lord, help us to be those people who love you. And we don't do it for anyone else. We don't do it to impress anyone. We do it because we love you, and you're worthy of knowing. You're worthy to walk with. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a closing hymn we'd like to play. What's the name of it? Say it again. Great is thy faithfulness. Thank you. A great classic hymn. Please stand.